Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, a Twitter account used by the journalist Owen Harris has been permanently suspended this afternoon by the social media platform. A spokesperson for Twitter said they had taken the action because of the account's violation of Twitter rules on platform manipulation and spam. Well, the decision came after the editor of the Sunday Independent last night announced he had terminated Owen Harris's contract with the newspaper after Harris was found to have co-founded an anonymous Twitter account under the name Barbara J. Pym. Mr. English said comments by the account frequently went far beyond what I would describe as fair and reasonable comment. Under no circumstances, he said, would such material have been published in our newspaper. Well, I have been speaking to Owen Harris this afternoon and I asked him to outline how involved he was in the controversial account.
I was one of the founders of the site, but in recent times, just simply health, I hadn't the energy for it, so I moved to the background and more of an advisor, talking to a group of people, five or six people on that site.
Okay, so can you explain to us your involvement with it then from the start?
Right. Well, you know, I'm a weekly political columnist and my politics are well known, but I couldn't really visit my readers every week with all the stuff in Northern Ireland that I wanted to address. And particularly, I was a close friend of David Irvine and a friend of Gusty Spence, and I have very strong views about the Protestant and loyalist working class. And I felt that we'd become very alienated, and I wanted access to mostly loyalists and unionists to assure them that many people in the Republic had no agenda against them and no designs on them and no malign intentions about them. And I could do that on that site. And by the way, Sarah, there's a long tradition of anonymous pamphleteering. The American Founding Fathers all did it. Edmund Burke did it. I had no problem admitting my involvement when I was asked about it. But others on the site were a bit loath to do so because they're just afraid of Sinn Féin. And, of course, that is the context of this whole thing is my politics and my strong belief. But I felt I needed that outlet, and the site is available to anybody. And I think if you go onto that site, you will see, go back as far as you like, and you will see a consistent effort to reassure working class unionists and loyalists, and in recent times to tell them, look, they had no choice but to accept the protocol, suck it up, so to speak, and try and live with it. There was nothing irresponsible about the site.
So just to be clear then, the people who are involved in... Actually, I might ask you, who are the people involved in the site?
I can't prefer. I mean, since they don't want their names mentioned, I'm not going to give their names.
Okay.
But they would include historians and trade unionists, and many of them kind of the older generation, like of trade unionists and historians and business people, actually.
And, any politicians or other journalists?
No, there's no other journalists. They're mostly... There's quite extraordinary number of, I suppose, business people on it, like who have dealings with Northern Ireland, trade dealings, etc., and they would contribute material from time to time.
But what do you mean by an extraordinary number? Sorry, I just want to get this clear. You say an extraordinary number. I thought you said there were six people involved.
About six people, yeah.
Okay. So when you say there's an extraordinary number of business people...
No, I said an extraordinary number of business people are interested in the site. I meant that.
Okay.
Of the six, two of them are business people, you know.
Okay, of
who
the
have
six,
trading
two are business
relations
people.
With the North.
Are any of them politicians?
No politicians and no journalists.
And no journalists. Yeah. Are any of the rest of them public figures such as yourself?
They wouldn't be, but they would be people who would have a lot of experience and knowledge of Northern Ireland, and there's, you know, there would people who have been involved with it one way or the other for maybe past 40 years, 50 years even.
And am I understanding you right when you say the reason for being anonymous was that you and the others were concerned about Sinn Féin and the reaction you would get from Sinn Féin? Is that your reason for being anonymous?
Well, that's their reason for being anonymous. I mean, I was anonymous because they were anonymous, but when asked about it, I had no problem admitting my involvement. I mean, nobody outed me. I outed myself. When I was asked by my colleagues, had I access to the people on the site, I said I did. And I had no problem admitting that. But the others in the group are nervous people. They'd be nervous of Sinn Féin, so they just didn't want their names mentioned.
Right. I'm not sure anybody listening at home is going to understand still why you felt the need to set up an anonymous Twitter account that was tweeting, in many cases, abusive tweets at journalists and others in public life.
Well, first of all, as I explained to you, I couldn't write in my column every week about Northern Ireland. And secondly, I have always named journalists. I have never been afraid to do so. And that is probably one of the reasons why, like, this call from RTE is so rare to take part. I'm fundamentally a non-person in RTE terms. I have very few platforms, and I couldn't lump down Northern Ireland stuff on my readers every Sunday. So I needed an outlet to address people in Northern Ireland, I felt.
Okay, so why not set up a Twitter account under the name Owen Harris to do that?
Because I needed the assistance of other people. I just wanted to be in. I wanted other people to help and assist me in it. And
Would it not have been possible to do that? Set up a Twitter account under the name Owen Harris and anonymously take their help without naming them.
Well, that just didn't arise for me at the time. We just, as a group, we wanted to operate under kind of a pseudonym. That didn't come. I mean, that didn't arise.
And is it possible that the reason you wanted to operate under a pseudonym is because, as has been stated by Alan English, the editor of the Sunday Independent, many of the views published by that account were unpublishable in a national newspaper, and he said frequently went far beyond what I would describe as fair and reasonable comment. Was that the real reason for being anonymous?
No, I mean, that's his view of the matter, and he's now a partisan in the matter since he terminated my contract. I don't think that any fair-minded person going through that account would agree that is anything but a benign account meant to reassure Northern Unionists and Loyalists. There are very few rough passages in that, and they're all directed to people well able to defend themselves.
Hmm. Well, one of them, now the account has been taken down, so a lot of the messages can't be seen now, but I'm sure you're aware that Aoife Grace Moore, who is an Irish Examiner journalist, has tweeted that the account sent her, and I quote, sexualised messages about whether Mary Lou MacDonald turned me on, the size of my arse, and called me a terrorist from the month I started at the Examiner. Since then, she tweeted, I've had to go to counselling and the guards. It doesn't sound like she had a benign experience of the account.
Well, there were two posts, one of which said that she, although she was hiding out, you could still see her backside. You could say that about any male politician who is hiding his politics, that you see his backside.
That tweet you're referring to, just for listeners, I have the text of it here. It says, Moore thinks she's sniping safely from behind Derry hedges, but she's actually sniping from behind a Republic of Ireland hedge in the Examiner, and her Sinn Féin backside is sticking up in the air.
Yeah, that could be said about any male politician as well. There's nothing sexualized, there's nothing sexually offensive about that. Mm. It's robust, and it's actually more humorous than anything else.
Did you write that tweet?
No, I didn't. Can we move on to the other thing she finds offensive? Simply because I said that she was turned on by a Mary Lou MacDonald speech, she finds that sexually offensive or offensive. But sure, you could say about me, I was turned on by Minoa Martin's speech, and nobody would think anything of it. It is a figure of speech.
If you don't mind, and we'll move on from Aoife Grace Moore, how often would you have tweeted from the account personally?
I effectively did most of the tweets recently in relation to the protocol. I do all the heavy stuff, so to speak, about protocols, Good Friday agreements and all that. I do all that stuff.
And would you have oversight on all tweets that are going out from the account?
No, I wouldn't. I'd see some of them and I wouldn't see others. I mean, I would have seen all of them maybe up to a year ago, but as my health kind of went, I only could do a fair amount. I couldn't do much.
Were you the person who tweeted from the Barbara Pym account about how an Irish Examiner journalist had liked a tweet that was related to a Sinn Féin TD, and the comment from the Barbara Pym account was, there had been an imbecile like by an Irish Examiner hack. No, for once, it was not Aoife Moore.
I don't remember it, and I don't have any recall of it, and I don't remember doing it. I certainly didn't do it myself. I've no knowledge of it.
Okay. Do you think that's a benign tweet?
You're extremely well informed. You did a lot of digging. It's a pity you wouldn't do that kind of digging into Sinn Féin's ABU account. You did. RT did not deal with the ABU situation at all until it became a major story. It's amazing the amount of digging you do with Sinn Féin's lone political opponent, because I'm almost alone in Ireland in warning about the danger of Sinn Féin fascism. And RT, which never invites me on, sits down and you do a lot of digging with your researchers, and yet you never do any digging into Sinn Féin's carry-on.
Okay, and do you think that is a benign tweet to call an Irish Examiner hack and imbecile? And then mention that for once it wasn't due for more.
It depends on what the journal had done or had written. Like if they had written some of the stuff that many Irish journalists do that enables Sinn Féin, that helps Sinn Féin in his campaigns, then it probably was justified. Okay. But I don't know the context because you're being coy about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not being coy about it. I read you out the tweet.
Yeah, I heard the tweet, but I have to know the context and the name of the journalist and what the journalist had written before
okay,
I'd say
so there is some context in which it's okay to tweet from an anonymous account that somebody's
in. Hey, I name names every Sunday in my column. I'm not Charlie of naming names. This is all kind of Dirtban Lumgan, Nordban Lee stuff. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is I'm one of the only journalists in Ireland that tackles Sinn Féin at the hard end. I opened up a new account to deal with them in Northern Ireland. Yes, if I made mistakes, it was like not out of any malice, it was because of my genuine deep conviction that Sinn Féin is a malign force on this island.
So do you think, Owen, there was anything in any of the tweets that were sent out by the Barbara Pym account that were abusive, hurtful, misogynistic, any of those things?
Sarah, I do not. I think there were robust political tweets aimed at very tough political people.
Okay, and the reason you sent them out anonymously is because it didn't occur to you that you could use your own name and get advice from other people.
It certainly occurred to me to use my own name, but I just felt that if I was with a group of people that I just didn't want to be just sitting there having to, you know, consult with them all the time. It was much simpler to do it like this, but I'm not afraid of... There's nothing kind of problematical about anonymity in my view. Anonymity has been the basis of pamphleteering polemics for centuries.
Are you associated with any other accounts, anonymous accounts?
I was asked that question by Alan English. Sinn Féin regularly accuses me of being involved with a number of accounts. If I really could curate all the accounts that they have suspended on Twitter, that they're investigating, and most of them I think will be found to be okay, I would want to be a Superman.
Sorry, I don't understand that answer. Are you associated with any other anonymous accounts?
You're accusing me, or you're saying, am I associated with any other? The answer is no, but I'm adding to that. I'm saying that not only am I not associated, but Sinn Féin trolls and Sinn Féin major figures regularly accuse me of being associated with other accounts. And if they were right, I would be a Superman.
Are you sorry you got involved in all this?
No. I would have had to find an outlet to deal with Northern Ireland one way or the other. It is my life. All my life. People say I'm inconsistent. I've been consistent all my life in thinking that Sinn Féin is a malignant force which will eventually pitch us into some kind of civil strife unless you stand up to it. And most Irish journalists are not standing up to it. And the reason I'm at the end of a phone here today is the first time I've been asked by RT to talk about anything in a long time.
Well, you were on the show, I believe, two years ago.
A year ago. The first time my column was mentioned in what it says in the papers would be like if I was in trouble. It's a standard joke is that with Sean O'Rourke that if he rang me, I was in trouble. That's the only time RT rang me when I'm in trouble.
Okay, the Irish Times is reporting just in the last couple of minutes that Twitter has suspended 9 accounts that are linked to yourself.
No, they're not linked to me. They have suspended 9 Twitter accounts which have supported the political line at various times or retweeted stuff from my thing. They've done it clearly in response to major pressure, and I suspect the pressure is coming from Sinn Féin. I think hundreds of Sinn Féin are activated. Let me finish, please. I believe if the suspended 9 Twitter accounts, you just make these wild charges associated with me. All these accounts ever did was retweet political tweets from Barbara Pym's account supporting my line. Just to support an anti-Sinn Féin line now is enough to get a Twitter account.
But that's not all those accounts ever did. I mean, I have personal experience of the Barbara Pym Twitter account, which I had to mute because of the tweets that they were sending in relation to me and at me.
Well, you're a strong presenter now.
I am,
You're no dying violet, like you know.
No, I'm not.
Produce these tweets. If there were tweets about you, they were not personalised. Were probably tweets.
No, they were personalised, which is why I muted the accounts.
Hmm?
Because they were personalised and they were abusive. I've been on Twitter since 2009,
yeah.
And I've only muted 15 accounts in that time. The Irish Times has also dug out a quote from you in Hot Press in 2008, and it says, you were quoted as such, "I have strong views on abuse of internet boards like politics.ie by political nerds who need anonymity to function. I have always seen them as," and there's an expletive there which refers to people, "in a room and hiding behind the computer while they write nasty pieces." What would you say to people that
I
might
would
suggest...
say- That
that's
was
a bit
then.
Hypocritical.
I would say that was then, and this is now. That is before Sinn Féin called that huge vote in the election. That's before we found out about Sinn Féin's media campaign.
Do you apologise to the very many people on social media who are saying in the last 24 hours that they found the tweets from this account to be hurtful and abusive?
I can't help it if other people are offended. And I'm not apologising to anybody.
You know, I suppose the thing is, Owen, most people would agree that you have the right to free speech in terms of your views on Sinn Féin, which are obviously very strongly held. And you had the right to express those views every week in a very big Sunday newspaper. You had the right to set up a blog post if you wanted to write about it further during the week. You had the right to set up a named Twitter account if you wanted to write about it further. You had the right to set up a podcast if you wanted to talk about it further. There were many different ways you could have got your views across without resorting to an anonymous account which tweeted abusive tweets regularly at journalists and other public figures.
I would deny it that it tweeted abusive tweets. I believe that anybody that goes onto that account, let them go onto that account, I believe any fair-minded person would see that account as a generally benign account that is not tweeting abuse of people. And if it is a tweeting criticism of people, they richly deserved it because they're usually Sinn Féin enablers or stooges or pawns.
Just finally then, as well as the various other tweets that we've discussed, the Barbara Pym account regularly tweeted tweets about how great you are and how good you are at your job. I'll give you a couple of examples. Harris gave us a wonderful talk in Kilkenny on Wellington and O'Connell. He sang, cracked good jokes. He has the character of a happy warrior. Harris is a tonic, said another. Mary Lou McWaffle is how Owen Harris, in his article in the Sunday Independent today, described the Sinn Féin leader. McWaffle, I'm loving it. Did you write those tweets?
No, I didn't, but I have colleagues who think that Michael Kenny's speech was rather good, and so did Ronan McGreevy of the Irish Times. And given that I have no platform, given that your organisation bans me, and it does, given that I have so few platforms, my colleagues probably wanted to look after me. I have so little profile. I get so little support from a monolith like RTE, which keeps me off the air because they know when I get on, I damage Sinn Féin. That's why you don't have me on. Simple as that. Every time I was on, I hurt Sinn Féin. And
are you advising Micheál Martin on Northern issues? There's been some speculation around that. I don't know if that's true.
I categorically am not.
Okay.
I had hard words with Micheál Martin only recently about his comments on Alan Rusbridger, so I'm not doing that.
We'll have to leave it there, Owen. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Sarah.